and if you had hashtag spreadsheets in your Instagram updates, you would find people who get off on that, you know.
I don't know if I want to find people.
Welcome to the Brand Engine Podcast, where we use proven strategies, real-life case studies, and actionable tips to help you, the small business owner, take control of your website and build your brand online.
So, hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 29 of the Brand Engine Podcast. My name's Gerald Porschman, and with me once again is my co-host, Mr. Barry Moore. Hey, Barry. What's
G'day,
happening up there?
Gerald. Well, we have recorded this ahead of time because by now, if you're listening to us, Brand Engine listener, we are currently on probably some shitty, muddy road in the middle of the Amazon jungle on our charity race across Peru. So hopefully, if everything worked out, this episode went to air on October 8th, which means we're a few days into our race and probably broken down somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, and everyone can track us also because we will have a GPS tracker, won't we?
We will indeed.
So if they want to track us, what's the best place to go? So it'll be the our blog spot, which is raceacrossperuforcharity.info.
That's right, raceacrossperuforcharity.info, and there'll be a team tracking page there on the nav menu, and you can just click on that and find out where we are while you listen to this podcast. And please, we are all doing this for a really good cause, which is to help the indigenous people of the rainforest, help stop destruction of their villages and destruction of the rainforest. So we really need your help. Our goal is to get 10 medical outposts into 10 of these villages throughout the rainforest, and we need your help to do that. So on the raceacrossperuforcharity.info site and also on the show notes for episode 29, thebrandengine.com/episode29, you will find a link or a button where you can donate to Cool Earth, the charity we're supporting. You can donate to Cool Earth on behalf of the team, and we really, really need your help.
Yeah, and I think it is important that that people get behind us and help the indigenous people of Peru. And make a real change, because we can be quite easily sitting here on our comfy beds and knowing where all that logging has come from. We need to slow that down a hell of a lot, and we're all guilty of it, but it's time we slowed it down just a bit. So, Barry, I want to kick into this week's podcast, which we recorded earlier on, but we had a really great chat with Kat Mattson from katmattson.com, and she's our social media expert, and she's going to be talking to us about, you know, everything social media, from Facebook to LinkedIn to Foursquare. So I'm probably guessing, from your perspective, why, before we kick into Kat's presentation, why do you think it's important that we have a social media presence?
Well, just from the point of view of traffic to your website, the top social media networks like LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, as you mentioned, they all consistently rank in the top 10 websites in the world. So they get the most traffic of any websites in the world. You know, there's Google, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all up there, always in the top 10. So if you want to generate traffic to your website to help sell your product and service, then social media is the place you want to be, number one. Number two, we always talk about getting people to know, like, and trust you before they want to buy from you. So that's a great way to get out there and share your personality with people via those different social media networks.
Yeah, so joining us this week is Kat Mattson from katmattson.com. She's the former CEO of hereis.com and soon to be the chief digital officer of City of Brisbane. And Kat is also the co-host of the Social Media for Small Business podcast. Now, she lives and breathes everything social media and how to use it in your business. So I suppose who better to talk to about how you can get started by using social media? We'd like to welcome Kat to the show. Hey, Kat.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, you're welcome. Now, we've got a trio thing happening here from three different locations, and we've just determined that we're sandwiching you. We're doing a social sandwich.
A social sandwich down the southern corner of southeast Queensland.
Hashtag social sandwich. I love it.
So Barry being from the Sunshine Coast, me on the Gold Coast, and you, of course, in the wonderful city of Brisbane.
It is an awesome city, and yeah, it's kind of nice that our reach can spread across those three little locations.
So tell me, Kat, how did you actually get started in social media marketing?
Well, it was an accident, actually, though it was a very good accident. About 7 or 8 years ago now, my co-host from the Social Media for Small Business podcast, Susie Daphnis, before we were co-hosts of that particular podcast, she said to me, Kat, you need to get onto Twitter. And I was actually very similar to a lot of other people who still say to me today, why on earth would I want to be on Twitter? It just looks like it's a whole lot of photos of what people are having for lunch. But Susie said, no, you've got to get there. You've got to get on. It's really powerful. It's really impressive. So I got on because I trusted Susie, and I spent probably about 3 months just putting up little tidbits about what I was up to in business, you know, speaking engagements I had, client work that I was doing, just kind of, it felt like a very one-way conversation that I was having with Twitter and whoever was listening or watching. And, you know, I was having a bit of fun, but I couldn't really see the point until one day I was in the car, and as I often do when I'm in the car, I was thinking, okay, who can I call to use this time more efficiently? And I called my uncle down in Melbourne, and his opening line when he answered the phone was, wow, Kat, you've been up to some incredible stuff. And I immediately think, uh-oh, who's he been talking to? What's he heard? Which people have he been talking to, and which awesome things is he referring to? And I kind of pushed the point a bit, and I said, why? What are you on about? And he said, well, I've been following what you've been up to on Facebook. Now, Facebook for me at the time, guys, was even worse than Twitter. I didn't get Facebook in any way, shape or form. But when I'd set up my Twitter account, I set it up to automatically feed Facebook.
Right.
And he said, well, I've been seeing all these things. And he said, I saw that you did this speaking engagement, and I saw that you're doing these fantastic gigs with clients. And I actually had this thought to myself, I need to get you down here in Melbourne, Kat, and I need you to help us in our business too. And the penny dropped for me then and there. I was like, oh, social media is about having conversations at scale that you would normally have one-on-one when you're catching up for coffee, or when you're, you know, at a barbecue, or even when you're in a professional context. In using social media, you can have those conversations at scale and therefore promote yourself in a way that previously small business owners couldn't. So that's how I got started.
But I think, if everyone understands the concept that using social media is there to build your brand, what about yourself? How has it really benefited you? And I know your uncle has kind of, you know, given you that that idea to say, well, there's one person listening. It's gone off to, you know, the wide world of the internet. There must be thousands of people also following and listening to what I'm saying. But how can it benefit, say, the individual person, say, like myself, who's getting into this whole media, foray right now?
Awesome question. And I think actually one of the distinctions is to bring it back to a personal context, not just a brand context. Nine times out of 10, unless you're extraordinarily extroverted, like, yes, I am, it is quite uncomfortable to talk about yourself, and it's also quite uncomfortable to talk about the good things that you're doing. It's quite an unfamiliar feeling to broadcast awesome, if you like. And what social media did, and what that realization did that I had with my uncle, was I realized, well, if I keep talking about the things that I'm doing, and if I get a little bit strategic in who I connect with and in what I say and when I say it and how frequently I might even say the same things but in a different way, then I can build my brand, and in my case, building that brand as a digital commentator, a digital expert. So for people starting out, how do we do it? Well, first of all, you get clear about what's your outcome. What do you want to be known for? What's your personal brand? Second of all, then you look for the other people who are already talking in that space, both to make friends with them and to connect with them, but also to just see where the space is. You know, I have become, I guess, a little bit contrarian in some of my views. I won't necessarily jump on every bandwagon. And by following other people, I'm able to argue, I guess, and argue a different point, which of course helps me stand out. What else do we do to build a brand? remember that it doesn't always have to be your own content. You know, one of the reasons why I follow other people in my field is so I've got other people's content that I can share and add meaning to, if you like, to my audience.
That's a really good point, Kat. I think, people go, I can't come up with the content all the time. I can't come up with the content all the time. But like you said, you don't have to come up with it. But
no.
If people trust you that you're out there curating the best of other people's content as well, that only serves to build your authority, even though it's not your own content. They know, hey, I know if I go to Kat's Twitter feed, she's always got the best content about social media or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. So you're building your authority, even though it's somebody else's content.
Absolutely. So I think curating content is a really important thing, and adding your own opinion to other people's pieces of content, blog articles, news articles. But also it's remembering that because of the scale now of social media and because there is so much noise and there is so many people talking about different things, one of my key strategies is to not necessarily have every tweet or every Facebook post be about taking action. It's about brand awareness. It's about having my face show up in other people's feeds, purely and simply to remind them that I exist. And I know that probably sounds a touch narcissistic, but in the old marketing sense, that was just brand awareness. And so I'll often get calls or emails from people to say, oh, Kat, you know, wanted to talk to you about this and this and this. And I haven't spoken to them directly, often in years, but they have seen me around the social media channels. You know, one of my favorite social media activities is actually taking photos of either my coffee or my wine at the right end of the day and posting that. And people often say to me, why on earth do you do that? What value does that give from a business perspective? And I said, actually, it's huge because one, it makes me human. Two, it's another brand awareness that I don't have to think about. I drink a lot of coffee and I drink a fair bit of wine. So there's always a piece of content there. And people relate to it. They then, you know, they talk to me about where do I get good coffee or where am I getting my wine? And so that creates another level of conversation that has me be more approachable, I guess, than if I was just only talking about my profession.
Yeah, that's so true. It's about the whole idea is about keeping top of mind. I mean, that was the old sales thing, is that, you know, the whole reason back in the day that Holiday Inn used to leave ashtrays in the hotel room, and we're talking way back when, was that they wanted you to steal their ashtray so that when you got home, you were always looking at the Holiday Inn ashtray. So that was their brand marketing. So we're just doing it in the digital world. And how long have you been into the social media space yourself? And the second part of that question is, has it really changed all that much since the time that you started?
I think it's 7 or 8 years, perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty early. When you look at the Australian Twitter sphere, I was one of the early ones in there, like in that first year that Twitter really hit Australia. How long have I been using it seriously for business? A year less than that. How much has it changed?
Yes,
A bucket and not a lot in the same notion. So where it stayed the same is it's still one of the most powerful marketing tools I have ever seen for small business owners. And I still get so excited about the potential for social media for small business owners.
So let's talk about what's the really exciting part about it. So if we talk about, you know, stumble upon LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, what would you say are the top platforms that the entry-level person should be already considering getting into?
You need to have a blog platform, and I'm not attached to which one that is. You need to have a blog platform. You need to have, I think, Facebook as a brand in some distinction. Don't use Facebook and your personal profile to promote your business, not solely anyway. That's another conversation. And Twitter. Oh, and LinkedIn. Okay. I could keep adding. And I, when people ask which platforms do you use regularly, I actually, you know, I'm using Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and SoundCloud more and more now, and Instagram and Foursquare and Swarm. Yeah. But I'm a social media junkie.
Yeah.
And that's how. And I operate and I love that buzz. But the primary ones: LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and a blog platform.
Do you use Google Plus?
I do. And I do say that it's a highly important one for larger businesses. For people who are starting out, I say reserve your name and put a bit of content there, but we just don't have the critical mass using it in Australia yet to make it fun enough, I guess. Yeah. Your rewards and your payoffs aren't big enough to sustain it. But it's certainly a worthwhile platform to be checking out just because it's Google.
I really hated it at first, but I must say I'm warming to it lately because it's kind of become Facebook of old. It's like Facebook without all the noise.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
You can really still connect with individuals on Google Plus, whereas Facebook, there's just, you know, hundreds of messages flying around.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of filter out the noise.
And I think, too, if you use your circles smartly in Google, you can broadcast to everyone who wants to listen, but you can only you can then choose how you want to receive your information. So I'll broadcast most of my stuff publicly on Google Plus, so anyone who's following me is seeing it. But I'm only checking the news feeds of a limited number of circles of the people who really I want to follow and I want to connect with.
And do you think you know, we talk about customer avatars a lot and knowing who your ideal customer is and then figuring out which one of those social media platforms they might be hanging out on the most. So maybe you could talk about what type of people are hanging out, you know, say on Pinterest as opposed to Twitter, as opposed to LinkedIn, as opposed to, well, I think everybody's pretty much on Facebook, so that's a no-brainer, but the other ones as well.
Everyone is certainly on Facebook. There is no doubt about it. The latest census survey, which was released in March of 2014, shows that 95% of Australians are using Facebook on a regular basis. So if your audience is in Australia, you want to be on Facebook. That's all there is to it. LinkedIn is certainly the professional network. So if you're wanting to connect with other professionals and have credibility in a professional sense, and by professionals I mean in a work context, not just white collar professionals, then I think LinkedIn is certainly a valuable platform to be present on. Pinterest, heavily skewed to what we in the industry would call middle America and women. And I deliberately use America because even though it's highly popular here in Australia, we don't see the same level of financial return on investment as they are seeing in the States. Pinterest is really it's a beautiful looking bookmarking site as distinct to a powerful strategic element in your business, unless some of your listeners are perhaps selling, I don't know, fashion, bow ties, shirts, something like that. But even then, I think it's a tough platform to get traction on.
Yeah, I think it's more geared toward either physical products, like you said, or experiential stuff like travel or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Particularly from a return on investment perspective. I mean, I can lose hours on Pinterest just pinning things, but I don't often go back to my boards. You know, like it's an odd platform in that sense. Instagram's spectacular if your target market is the sub 30 men and women or girls and guys. Not to say that over 30s aren't using Instagram, but the over 30s are using Instagram differently to how the under 30s are. And in fact, the under 30s are using it far more frequently than they're using Facebook. When people say to me, though, oh, don't you think Facebook's dying and Instagram's taking over, I remind people that Facebook actually owns Instagram. So I don't think that's a useful distinction to draw anymore. Instagram really rocks, though, again, when you have figured out how to portray your brand or your business in a really highly visual form, or how you use it to promote yourself. Again, I use Instagram to take my photos of my coffee or my wine and then just kind of put that in as a soft part across my Twitter and Facebook feeds.
Kat, one of the things that really annoys me is that when I'm on LinkedIn, I notice that there'll be a person that may have put up a post on Twitter and that may have fed that to Facebook and would have fed it also to LinkedIn. But I will see that their post that they put up on Twitter now ends up on LinkedIn about 12 times.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like it's continuing. So Facebook then had the post pushed out to LinkedIn as well. Their Instagram had pushed it out to. Apart from that common mistake that people are doing, what else do you think are the dangers of people using social media in the incorrect form?
Hmm. Well, the dangers are of doing particularly that strategy is that you'll lose your audience. I know I stopped following people pretty quick smart because I just can't be bothered in having that kind of guff in my feed, particularly multiple times. Mm. I actually do think it is a big mistake to have the majors linked and receiving posts from each other. So, and by the majors, I mean Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Instagram, I think it's acceptable to automatically feed to Facebook or to Twitter, or to have the button in each post, which is what I do. And Foursquare/Swarm is another one that I think it's acceptable to post direct. But the others shouldn't be taking their feed from each other because apart from anything else, the nuance on each platform is different. The conversations that you have at a barbecue are different to the conversations that you have at a professional networking function, and that's exactly what should be happening on your social networks too.
So that was a question I had. Is that, you know, do you use automated tools to you know, take one message and push it out to all the different platforms? Are you subtly crafting that message differently for each platform? You know, like you'll see people, they'll tweet something and it's got, you know, hashtag this and hashtag that, and that automatically pushes to Facebook, and then there's all these hashtags in Facebook which really seem out of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My favorite automation tool is a platform called Buffer, which basically operates like a bucket, you know. So you just keep filling up the bucket of social media posts and it will just keep releasing them or leaking them out at specified times to each of your networks. Now, what I use Buffer for is actually relatively strategic. So as I'm doing my reading in the morning over a coffee, and I'm probably coming across at least 10 or 15 different articles that I really like or that I think is valuable to the people who are following me, I will post those to Buffer straight away. And as I'm doing each one, I will decide, do I need to do a different post for each of the social media networks, or can I do them the same? And Buffer makes it really easy to choose which network each post is going to go to. So I will spend a bit of time just making sure that I've got the right post going out, and then they flow. They literally flow. But my LinkedIn, the timetable in Buffer for LinkedIn is different to the timetable in Buffer for Facebook, and is different again for Twitter. So even if you are following me on every single network, you're not going to see the same post at the same time across all networks.
Exactly. And there's actually a good strategy I got from another podcast is that if you have a piece of content that's, you know, evergreen and it's not particularly dated or anything, like we in Australia, we might put it out on Twitter and say, you know, now at 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, a lot of people in the U.S. will probably miss that because they'll be asleep. So this particular guy was talking about how he takes his evergreen content, and when he puts it up the first time, he says, right, I'm going to post it today at 11 o'clock. And then uses Buffer or Social Sprout or one of those other tools to say, right, and then 4 weeks from now I'll post it at 2 a.m. our time, which is like, you know, 8:30 on the East Coast of America. And then 4 weeks after that I'll post it again at a different time that takes into account when most people in the UK are going to be online. So he takes that one piece of content and spreads it out over 4 weeks at different times on the clock so that he's hitting different parts of the world.
And I think that's a spectacular strategy, and it reminds me of another one that I often recommend people use is anything that you've shared that got good traction the first time round, if it is relatively evergreen, or even if it's just not dated, as in it's not dated information, you can reschedule that and reuse that multiple times. You know, with how all of the feeds are working these days, it's extraordinarily unlikely that 100% of your audience are going to see 100% of your posts. So even if you are posting the same thing over and over again, you're still not going to be spamming people. You're not going to be overly repetitive. And you've got space to say, oh, in case you missed it, here was this great article about X, Y, and Z.
All right, Kat, speaking of automated tools, what I see a lot is that, you know, people will be using these tools like TweetDeck or even Buffer or whatever, and just be putting message after message after message into their Twitter feed. And it almost seems like that 80 or 90% of Twitter just seems to be robots talking to other robots. So how do you break through that? Or how would, you know, if you're advising someone who's just getting into using social media for their business, how would you advise them of breaking through that just noise and clutter and actually making some real headway on that platform?
Talk to people is the short answer. So every time somebody retweets or comments on one of my posts, even if it was retweeting something that I buffered, I thank them, or I, you know, hit the like button, or I hit the favorite button in Twitter. I acknowledge and thank. I make sure that I've got notifications on my phone all the time, and even though that can send me a little bit balmy sometimes, it again reminds me that there is a real-time conversation going on, and if I wait until tomorrow to reply to those like I would with an email, then I've lost momentum on what potentially was a really awesome conversation. Now, does 100% of my replies get an actual conversation? No, because there is life going on as well. But I will watch the comments that are coming through, and if there is something to jump into and really pull out to have a longer conversation with, then I will do that. The other thing in terms of cutting through the noise is make sure, I think, that you're putting your own voice into particularly the content that you're curating, so, or you're asking a question, or you're inviting people to give their opinions. So it's not just a constant read this article, did you see this, read this article.
Yeah.
So just literally putting nuance and putting tonality, putting color into your voice that you're using on social media.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think when people are first starting out, they, especially small business, they treat it like it's not social media, it's just media. They keep blasting out, here's the thing, here's this thing, here's that thing, here's that thing, but they don't engage, and it stops becoming social media at that point. It just becomes broadcast media at that point. They're just broadcasting a message but not stopping to listen or talk to anyone else.
Absolutely. And when you're, I mean, broadcasting and promoting yourself is a big part, of course, of social media, but the other part is just reading your feed and jumping into conversations as you see fit. You know, I was sitting at home on, I think it was Saturday night, I was checking out my Twitter feed because I'd had a lot of Twitter noise in the last couple of days, and I saw that the guy, I've forgotten his name, the guy who won the best job in the world a couple of years ago, he tweeted that he was off to an awesome event as part of Brisbane Festival. So I just, you know, Ben Southall, I replied to him and said, oh, have fun, you know, I love this time of year in Brisbane, blah, blah, blah. And he replied back, and then somebody else favourited it. Now, that can only happen because I was checking out my feed and was just actively engaging in conversations for no other reason than to actively engage in conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, not everything has to be a strategic, business orientated, what am I going to get out of this tweet?
And another question I had around Instagram, and actually there's kind of two questions here, but, you know, Instagram is a great platform, and my wife Nikki uses it extensively for her business, and she's got a lot of followers on there, but she's very kind of image-oriented and selling an experience and a feeling, whereas I'm the opposite. I'm the number-crunching geek in the background. So I always wondered about the Instagram platform and how you can, or can you even turn those into conversions? You know what I mean? Like with Facebook, you get all those audience profiles and you can have ads and you can boost posts. But it seems like the Instagram platform is just, it's harder to track a conversion or cause a conversion from an Instagram post than it is from, say, a Facebook post.
I agree. And I think, I mean, Instagram have just announced that they've brought advertising to Instagram in Australia. And with that, they've released some new analytics and insights, which will be interesting to see in terms of reach and conversions and actions on posts, etc. I think we have to be really careful with what I call the minor platforms of bastardizing every platform into a business one.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I love about social media for small business owners in particular is that it gives you an opportunity to connect at a human level at scale. That doesn't mean that you need to be connecting at a business level at scale and having every post drive a conversion of a something. You know, so perhaps Instagram is literally the softer social side where you get to profile more of who you are. You know, if you're the numbers cruncher, then take a photo of your coffee and your spreadsheet and say, yes, this is what I'm getting excited about today, because that will resonate with the other people who do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, in fact, there have been many Instagram posts of mine that have been a photo of a social media report and a coffee and a computer screen saying, this is my afternoon, how lucky am I?
Yeah.
It doesn't drive any conversions, but it reminds people that I'm Kat, not someone just pumping out stuff.
And the second half of that question was, people getting started with social media, can you kind of speak to the use of hashtags? I know like they're used extensively in Twitter and Instagram, for example, but you rarely, if ever, see them in Facebook or LinkedIn. So kind of what are some of the rules around that for the new folks out there?
Yeah, it's a fascinating one actually, because they play different roles across the different platforms. So let's go with Twitter, Instagram, and Google Plus. Mm-hmm. The hashtag basically operates as a search mechanism. So if I personally right now wanted to go and find who is talking about social media, I would type into the search box in Twitter, hashtag social media, and I would see what comes up. Also, if I saw somebody tweet with the hashtag social media, I'd be able to click on that hashtag and it would bring up everybody else who's talking about social media right now. So in Twitter, in Google Plus, and in Instagram, hashtags are a really powerful way of reaching a new audience, because if there is somebody looking for spreadsheets, then, and if you had hashtag spreadsheets in your Instagram updates, you would find people who get off on that, you know.
I don't know if I want to find people.
Well, that's how I found you.
But in Facebook, it kind of does the same thing, but differently. And part of that has been because Facebook basically adopted hashtags late to the party because they were trying to compete with Twitter instead of be themselves.
Yeah.
And so the hashtags certainly do work well in Facebook for that thing. And you'll actually see hashtags often feature in trending topics or in mass or scale conversations. So, for example, the hashtag odds poll has become the standard. If you want to see what's going on in Australian politics, you hashtag it odds poll, AUSPOL, and you'll see the conversation that's currently going on right now about Australian politics.
So has it become more socially acceptable or a done practice to use hashtags in Facebook posts?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. I personally think it's a bit sad. But the other thing... The other thing that I kind of do like for hashtags, and this isn't from a business perspective, but it's more if you're trying to say something really fast, but it's almost like it's a human voice sarcasm thing or a raised eyebrow thing that you can't engender in text, and so we put hashtags in front. I'm trying to think of a recent one.
Yeah, like hashtag winning or hashtag fail or something like that.
Or even hashtag I must try that more often.
Oh, right.
Or, you know, should do this more often, or good parent after all, or something like that. Like it's almost the soft humorous thing. But yeah, from a business perspective, hashtags are really powerful on Twitter, Instagram, and Google Plus. A little bit on LinkedIn as well, just because they've kind of followed on from the other platforms. On Facebook, I think they're still useful, but use them sparingly. If every single one of your Facebook posts has a hashtag in it, people are going to tune out pretty quick smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the hashtags aren't going to follow through to a search, then there's no point. You know, if from a search perspective, you want to be able to do it, use the hashtags that others are using so you're part of a bigger conversation.
All right. Well, maybe what do you think are some of the best, you know, you do this all day, every day. What are the best kind of insider tips and tricks that people should be doing?
In general or in terms of hashtag?
Just in general.
Be frequent. So, you know, one post a day on Facebook is probably not enough if you're using it to promote your business. 100's too many. But somewhere between 1 and 100, you know, you're going to find a sweet spot.
Especially if it's 100 of the same one.
Yeah, that's right. Choose your platforms that fit both your personality as well as your audience. I hear a lot of people say to me, oh, but I hate Facebook, but I've got to be there. I kind of go, I'd like to say that, yes, you do have to be there because your audience is, but if you really do hate it, you're going to suck.
Yeah.
You're just going to suck at it. So don't do it. Watch for a while before you jump in if you're not quite sure what to do. You know, how I have done what I've done on Twitter has been by just watching and playing and kind of picking up on the nuance. it's not something that you pick up on the first glance. And many people say, oh, I looked at Twitter and I don't understand it. No, you need to look and then you need to play and you need to get in before you'll understand it. Be authentic is, I think, my biggest one. If you go to the social media channels with some kind of front or some kind of professional voice that you only put on when you've got your suit and tie on, then, again, you're kind of going to suck at it. The reason people love social media is because they do get to connect with real people. And you'll find that people are friendly because, you know, shock horror, we're humans. And I guess my other top tip would be don't be singular focused in your message. By all means, make sure that you're consistent in the business stuff that you're looking to promote, but add a human element. You know, I regularly share Humans of New York posts because I find them touching and moving and a reminder of what the world's all about. That has nothing to do with anything that I do in business, but they generate a lot of engagement because they are so human.
Yeah.
You know, and that it just adds to the richness of the profile, if you like, that I'm presenting on social media networks, not just always talking about all things digital and social.
Yeah, fair enough. I think, you know, if your goal is to try and get people to know, like, and trust you, which it should be, as a person or a business, and if you're putting on that kind of false professional voice of, you know, this is our business and this is our brand, and you're never sharing anything personal, then people aren't really getting to know you at all. They're just getting to know the fake professional voice. So, yeah,
well,
good point.
And for them, there's nothing – when you do that professional voice, there's nothing actually for people to hang on to. There's no reason for people to engage with you until they need your product or service. Yep. Whereas if you put out other stuff, there is a reason then. There is a reason for people to engage, to retweet, to reply, to like, which then means that you have an opportunity for a conversation. And when you've got an opportunity for a conversation, then over time you can build a relationship. And when you've got a relationship, then you can do business.
Perfect. Yeah, I've always heard a lot of people in business are trying to close the sale really quickly, and what they should be focusing on is opening up a relationship.
Absolutely.
And what you've just talked about is that whole building rapport and knowing, getting to know, like, and trust the person. And it doesn't always have to be about business. It, like you said, you know, you've got the human touch that you have to inject in there so people actually go, well, this is a human being that I'm talking to that's got other interests, rather than always pushing their product in front of my face. And I think that's a really great tip that you just gave then.
Yeah, and you know, I get so much more out of social media than just a business stuff too. You know, I get restaurant recommendations. I get cool opportunities to go and do things or see things or hear about things that I wouldn't have otherwise. I often have suppliers for my business. You know, it's not just about getting the sale.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than that.
Yeah, very, very good advice.
And so, Kat, if somebody wants to reach out to you and contact you, what's the best way they can do that?
They should go and have a look at katmatson.com.au. All of my contact details are there. Or, as embarrassing as this does sound sometimes, if you Google Kat Matson and Kat spelt with a C, you'll find me.
You'll find you.
You'll find me, and you'll find pretty much every channel I'm on.
Maybe we'll just hashtag Kat Matson.
There you go.
There you go.
That could be an interesting trend.
All righty. Well, thanks very much, Kat. That's been super informative and really good for the audience. I might steal a page out of your book from the Social Media for Small Business podcast. What's your favorite social media tool at the moment?
Yeah, that is one of my favorite sections of the podcast. I'm loving Twitter all over again, actually, at the moment. The conversations are so much faster. I get a lot of intellectual and professional stimulation from the conversations that are happening on Twitter. And it's hard to describe. I'm noticing what my hands are doing. My hands are trying to make an image of a spider's web upon a spider's web upon a spider's web. And that's what I love about Twitter, the random opportunities to create connections that literally weren't there 5 minutes ago, let alone didn't exist before. I find it breathtaking. So Twitter's my current favorite.
Fair enough. I've been getting into it a lot lately as well, and I think it is really interesting, but it does take a little bit of effort to break through that noise of robots talking to robots, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of getting in touch too, it's remiss of me if I don't say, you know, by all means, go and check out the Social Media for Small Business podcast if you want more details on specific elements of the of social media. We've got a lot of stuff in there now.
Yeah, I've been ripping through the back catalog for the last couple of days, and there's some really great stuff there, and we'll link to it in the show notes.
Awesome.
Kat Mattson, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've got a lot of takeaways from that, and I'm sure our listeners have too. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thanks very much, Kat. And I must say there were some great takeaways from there, all too many to, you know, to rattle off at the top of my head. But I think one of the things that you mentioned was about understanding the platform that you're on. So I think you mentioned something about if you're going to use Twitter, you know, have a good understanding how Twitter works before you start posting things up. And for yourself, Barry, what was a good takeaway for you?
Yeah, the personal context and trying not to use, you know, the corporate voice all the time. If you're selling a product, especially if you're a small business or a solo entrepreneur, let some of your own personality come through. That's what social media is for. I think that's a really good tip.
Yeah, we want to know what your thoughts are. And as usual, we'd love to hear your comments. We're just leaving them in the comments box below. And please like us and share this podcast out. You know, I think for us too, is the more that we can get people to understand how important it is to drive your business online, you know, the more acceptable it is for people to be able to build their own brand online without having to, you know, pay those huge amounts of expenses. And Barry, what's another way they can contact us?
Well, if you just head over to thebrandengine.com/episode29, all the show notes will be there. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can see the content, the comment section there. Please leave us a comment. We might not get back to it right away because we might be in a Peruvian jail right now. But as soon as we find some bandwidth and we can hook up to the internet, we'll be certain to log in and see what you have to say.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. We might do a few Skype calls to our friends back at home. And we might even, if you like, hey, this might be a good thing for us. If you wouldn't mind just jumping on the bottom of that page of thebrandengine.com and use the SpeakPipe widget and leave us a comment and maybe some well wishes. We might deserve something on the way so we can hear your voice and go, hey, thanks very much. So use that SpeakPipe.
And by this point in time, we're probably tired of each other by now, so we want to hear somebody else's voice.
Well, that's only 4 days into it.
Yeah, it's going to be long.
It's a long one. All right, and as usual, folks, we'd love you to get on board and build your brand online.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Barry.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Engine podcast. You can find all the show notes, news, and upcoming events over at thebrandengine.com.
That was great.
We went through that without talking about any nipples at all.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it?
Damn.
I'm actually quite relieved. I was just thinking, shit, what happens if he doesn't edit that out?
Oh, well, no. We would never, would we? No, okay. We might be in a Peruvian jail, so we might do that. Yeah. Actually, we just did that today, Barry, and the podcast was with and shut up, Gerald. Jesus.